Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including probably a possible rant about the problems with social media and our society with the Chick-fil-A girl as the backdrop for that. But before that, I have to go through an email from Eli. Subject, hypothetical Hayden. And says, hey, I think Betty and Hayden are actually in a relationship.
What?
That's a great hypothetical.
And if they end up getting married, you'll be her father-in-law and a big part of the wedding.
Right, whether I want it or not.
Yeah, so are you dating Hayden?
No.
Are you sure?
No. Times are not that tough yet.
Hayden's even too light
even
for
Hayden.
You.
Even Hayden.
Sensitive for you?
I don't know if he, I don't think he's ready.
Yeah, he's not ready for you. Not ready to handle this.
I think you'd break him.
Oh, yeah. You've broken all of us. You've broken our souls.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. You take great pride in that, which is fantastic. The bridge collapse that happened in Maryland, we watched it when it first happened. And it's a sad story because people have lost their lives. But GMA covered it for the better part of an hour, hour and a half. And they had no new information. They just kept saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. So I went through and looked at the information today to see if anything had changed. And really not much had changed. What they found out was that the local... We speculated on this yesterday. We weren't sure if it was the pilot of the ship. Because in the waterways, if you go on a cruise ship, if you look down the side of your ship when you're leaving, you'll see a boat come up, and or when you're coming back in, a boat will come up. A guy will step off of that little boat onto the cruise ship, and he'll go up, and he brings the ship in. The captain does not. It's always the local pilot, they call them, that brings the ship in because they know the waterways better than anybody else there. Mm-hmm. That's what they're paid to do. Mm-hmm. And this was a local pilot, so he should have known the waterways and known where they were. And so he hit the bridge, but there were 20 vehicles that went in the water, and it's about 50 feet deep, and they have stopped making it a rescue, and now it's recovery. And they fear that like 6 people passed away. They did get 2 people out, which was amazing.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Impressive.
Yeah, they saved 2 people out of the water because the water is like super cold and the currents are bad, and so it just, if you had been in there that long, there was no way that you were coming back. But sadly, it was like a bunch of workers too that were there fixing the bridge and actually doing potholes.
Yeah, it's just so random because if you lost a loved one, you'd be like for instance, if you were just driving your car across the bridge, you know, you just happened to be there at that very time on that very
wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It is one of those things, and it would be easy for you to start living your life in fear of everything.
Oh yeah,
because when something can snap that fast, you know, and you did nothing wrong, you did absolutely nothing wrong. But boy, if you let fear control you like that, you're headed for a life of misery.
I will say though, I do think that I would have a very hard time driving over bridges. Yeah. Like if I lived close to that scenario, I couldn't imagine going over a bridge and not thinking about that.
Yeah, I've watched one bridge that was collapsing, and it was a section bridge, and so one section went down lower. It hadn't fully fallen into the water, and you see this person driving, everyone trying to wave them off, and that person drives and just drops into the abyss. It hits the other side. But again, you couldn't see that there was a gap there. You know, it looked like the bridge just went on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm constantly reminded that. My daughter, she'll get anxious about stuff like that and health stuff, and I've been, you know, my whole life I've been like, you know, Boodle, you can't control any of that, you know? I call her Boodle. Like, there's nothing you can do. And so to let that own you and live a life where you don't do anything is sadder than dying, you know, tragically, I think, honestly. A life where you just shut yourself in and don't do anything, I think is far worse. Mm-hmm. You know, even after tragedies and shootings and all these things, I think that's the problem. That's what terrorism is. Terrorism is designed to terrorize you and keep you from living a normal life, and that's how they win. You know, there was speculation. There's one guy on TikTok that showed the ship. He had footage of the ship coming in, and like all these motion captures caught together, and you see the ship come by, and you're like, boy, it does look like it's aiming for it. But the officials have not said anything like that. They
went out.
It appears to be accidental. Yeah. Did they say the ship power went out?
Yeah, that's what they said on the news.
Okay, that was new then from what I had this morning.
When I saw like the video, it looked like it was coming and then the lights went out. and it was floating, and then it looks like it came back on at one point.
Okay,
and then it, floated, it, went, and out then it went out again.
So they lost power on the ship, and that's why it veered into the bridge.
And when you lose power in a ship of that size, it takes a long time. I mean, it takes football fields of length to try and, at full power, going in reverse to stop that motion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have any power, you can't control it.
I keep thinking about, like, who is responsible? Who's responsible for making sure that that ship has full power?
Right. The engineer.
Right. And if he didn't do his job, well, then
Or did something just break? But
yeah,
they have redundancy. That's the thing. They have redundancy on all these ships. There's multiple redundancy on planes. Multiple redundancy
emergency
for when
power.
Something breaks, there's something else to, you know, come in and compensate for that. So just, I mean, yeah, just a tragic situation. I'm glad that you knew the thing about the power, because I hadn't seen that yet.
You know who I learned that from?
TikTok?
No, from GMA's travel expert,
Gio
Benitez.
Well, finally, he had something to say. I feel bad for, like, the anchors on these things. Like, so they'll do, like, a five-minute story on it with the host, and then they'll toss it out to the local person and be like, so what are you learning there? And they're like, look, dude, you just said everything. Mm-hmm. I have nothing new. I'm standing here. And the only reason I'm here is because, like, you can have a different video shot. And I have nothing else to add to this. But then they have to. Well, as you mentioned earlier, it was a bridge. And bridges typically, stay with me here, take people from one side of a lake or a river or a body of water to the other side. This happens on a daily occasion. And from time to time, you will have things that slow down that process. In this case, with the bridge missing, you can see that people will probably not be able to get across said waterway.
Uh-huh.
Back to you, George. You know,
ooh.
Yeah, it's so, but I feel bad
helped,
for them.
That really, you know, gave me some insight. Thank you, sir.
I've had to stall before at concerts. Like when I was hosting a concert, I was doing this all day. I don't like to do festival shows anymore. And so I would be hosting and I'd talk in between each of the bands while they did the change out for the bands. And it always takes longer than you think. And I remember the stage manager going, all right, we're good. You go, you talk for like 2 minutes or so and we'll be ready to go. So there was a little bit of confusion. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. And one other guy's like, I don't think so. And then he goes like, no, we'll be good. Go. I'm like, all right. So I go out there. And I finish what I'm going to say. I'm ready to toss it back to them. And I look back, and they're still doing everything. And I look back at him, and he's like, gives me the sign to stall.
Oh,
I'm like, to stretch. I'm like, son of a gun. So I start stretching, and then I start making fun of people in the crowd. And that's what I always do. I always turn on the audience. If I'm stuck where I'm uncomfortable, I turn on someone in the crowd. And so then I'm doing this. And then people just start throwing things because I guess they got bored too. So they start throwing like beach balls at me and stuff.
My gosh.
And so then I start chucking stuff back
at
them.
That sounds horrible.
It's turning into chaos. And I look back, the guy's still going, stretch. I'm like, what did the. I probably did another 10 minutes out there stretching.
Mm-mm.
And so I feel for anybody put in that situation. All right. So here is what we wanted to get to today.
Oh,
the Chick-fil-A sauce girl.
It.
No, that wasn't it.
Oh.
That was just a little smorgasbord, a light snack. This is what I've been wanting to talk about.
He hasn't ranted yet.
No. The Chick-fil-A sauce girl. Okay. This girl went viral because her sister came in and was videotaping her, and she's working at Chick-fil-A counter, and this is kind of what they shot.
A lemonade, all right.
And then can I also have barbecue sauce? Or do you have like a buffalo sauce?
No Chick-fil-A sauce?
No Chick-fil-A sauce. And then you want Chick-fil-A sauce?
And then what makes it funny is she's bugging out her eyes. No Chick-fil-A sauce? You know, and so that's it. I mean, that literally is it. It's a nothing video, but it went viral because she made such a funny face with it.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister, I guess it's been a thing that they do that funny face and they goof around. So that's it. You think it ends there. You went viral, fantastic. Oh, no, not Gina. Not Gina the Chick-fil-A girl.
Mm-hmm.
Gina the Chick-fil-A girl then goes on to post a video of where her life has gone now.
Hi, guys. It's me, Gina, from the viral Chick-fil-A video. So, this is going to be a serious video today.
Oh,
and I'm already not starting off strong. So, as y'all know, I'm a new creator.
Are you?
I'm having a little bit of creator's block, if that makes sense.
I've never created anything
so
other than
I
this.
Just would like to know what kind of videos y'all are looking for. I'm a big artist. I like art. I could do art. I could do singing. I could do parodies because I could do anything y'all are looking for. Because I'm doing this for y'all because I love all of you, and thank you for all the support. I really appreciate it.
It's for us.
She's doing this for us. But, Rock, she's doing it for you.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she cares.
No, she's not. She's doing it for herself.
You think? No, I think she's doing it for us.
And does she really talk?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Like,
no, she's just putting on the whole persona. And this is what I feel bad is, like, you had one weird viral hit. And great, good on you. If you made a little bit of money on it, great. But now there's that pressure for her. She's like, okay, now I've got 80 million followers or whatever. Now you got to monetize that. And so now she's doing all these videos that aren't funny, aren't interesting. She has no idea what she wasn't designed to be a creator. That wasn't what she was going to be as a creator. But now she feels like, because she had one hit, oh, I'm a creator now. Mm-hmm. And when you have to ask people, what do you want? You are not a creator. Mm-hmm. A creator is creating things that just in their essence are compelling to people to watch. And so you weren't ready for this. I haven't looked at the comments yet, but I have to believe the comments are not kind.
Nope.
Like, the internet is a brutal place. Oof. And so I cannot believe that it is. I feel bad for this girl in the sense that she jumped into this pool, and I don't think it's going to be healthy for her.
No, not at all.
And darling, you are not a creator, you know? And I don't think you want to be. Like, just go back and work at Chick-fil-A and then go to college and do something.
Yeah, but all kids want to be creators.
Well, it's tough. Because not everybody people work super, super hard, and their 10th, their 100th or 1,000th video is the one that goes viral. And then they've made it and they've earned their way there. So, like, it's hard to get your launch. It's hard to find the launch pad to success. And she, randomly stumbled on it with this video.
Yeah, I know.
And I get where, if you can turn it into success, but it doesn't seem like she's got guidance from people to say, hey, that's not good.
Yeah, like, let's not do that.
This
the merry-go-round of content creation is a crazy ride for people, and I don't think people fully understand what it takes and to stay, because people are so fickle. You're in one second, you're out the next, and so all you're doing, it's like a junkie. You're chasing that next high.
Yeah.
You really are, because when you hit that level and, like, this is amazing, you want to get it again, and you want to have the next thing go viral, the next thing. And really, 1 out of 100 might go viral, And so even if you've had success before, I remember when we went to see the Newsies in New York, so Broadway play, and these guys that were in this are the best of the best. So Newsies closes, and out of Newsies closing, we followed, like, these guys because my daughter was super into them, and, like, 3 guys got jobs out of this, and the rest of the cast is still struggling like everybody else. Like, it does, you're not guaranteed, once you've had success once, you're not guaranteed to continue to have success. But, like, when I was on vacation, I told Betty, I said, I'll do more posts while I'm gone this time. I wanted to try out this camera that I'd got, and it was fun, But I was posting a lot of stuff. And, like, in between, I would shoot stuff, and we'd be out traveling at one location. Then we'd get on a bus and drive to another location. And while we're driving, my head is in my phone editing these videos and trying to stay up with this and planning when I'm going to post them and then posting some then and holding this. And I still have stuff I didn't post. Like, I got consumed on the bus with doing this. Now, I enjoy it, but my wife was like, you're missing stuff. I'm like, I know, but I got to get this done. I felt this pressure because I felt Betty Rock in my head.
Oh my gosh.
Going, you need to work more on vacation.
It wasn't me.
That's what I feel like.
Even if it wasn't me, you would find something else to blame it on for sure.
I had Betty in there, like, in her head, in my head, just going, man, this is all you're going to do today? You're only going to do 5 videos? Okay, whatever. So you want to do that?
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Ruining my vacation. What do you got, Rock?
I have a story to tell you. This is about a couple who, they're both influencers. Getting on with the influencers. So, a couple, they are expecting their second or third child, and they decide to throw a gender reveal party. So they're spending $9,000 on a gender reveal party.
That is insane. Put that in a college fund for your kid.
Yes.
And, like, just watch it grow over the next, 20 years. You won't have to worry about college.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, anyways, so the mother-in-law, so the mother of the
groom,
dad,
or the dad, yeah.
Yeah, of the dad of this kid that's about to be born. She calls her daughter-in-law, the one who's about to have the baby, and she says, hey, I want to come and help you plan this gender reveal. Well, the daughter-in-law says, oh, I appreciate your offer, but I'm actually planning this party with my mom and my sister. But if you would like, you can show up the day of and help us set it all up and get it ready and prepared. She says back to her daughter-in-law, "What am I, your maid?"
Yeah, because you're good enough to come help set things up, but not plan.
You're right. Got so it. I guess she felt left out. The mother-in-law felt left out. Well, of course, when she says this rude remark, it hurt the daughter-in-law's feelings. She goes to her husband, a.k.a. the mother-in-law's son, and she's like, "You'll never believe what your mother said to me. She's like being very rude." So he goes to his mom and he's like, "How dare you talk to my wife like that?"
Can I say something here? Mm-hmm. Good on him. Because like it, too many times in relationships, the spouse will not confront their parent in these, and it drives a wedge in their marriage.
Yes,
you get married, you are marrying your wife, and your first responsibility is to her now. Mm-hmm. And if something has bothered her or hurt her, you need to man up or woman up, and you need to take their side if they're in the right. You know, you don't just blindly follow them either. But if there's a situation where you've got to choose sides, you need to choose your spouse's side.
Right, for sure.
So good on him.
So, and you might be thinking, well, she only said, "What am I, your maid?" I cleaned that conversation up. Yeah. She said a lot more than just that. Anyways, so the son says to his mom, "You can't talk to my wife like that. Because you're being so rude, you are not invited to this party, this gender reveal party."
That's a big step from him.
It's a big step. So she, now the mother-in-law, is like, "Oops, I went too far. I'm going to try and backtrack, and I'm going to try and get back into their good graces." She's trying everything she can, but, I mean, she burned a bridge.
Yeah.
And so, finally, the day of the party that morning, the mom-to-be says, "You know what?" says to her husband, "You know what? Invite your mom. It's fine. Like, I'll just bury the hatchet. Let's just go on with it."
A good olive branch from her.
So he calls his mom and he's like, "Hey, you know, we changed our mind. You're invited to come. You know, you can show up at this time when the party starts." Well, the party, everybody's starting to come. They're waiting. They don't want to start things until the grandma of this baby is going to get there, obviously. Well, she's late and she does not show up. So they're like, "Okay, we've postponed this long enough. We're just going to go ahead and reveal the gender." So they do the countdown. They're counting down. When they get to second 13, so they're going 15, 14, 13. When they hit 13, all of a sudden the lights go out and sprinklers go off everywhere inside? Yeah, inside in the facility where they're having this huge party. Sprinklers go off. A fire alarm is going off.
That's so great.
Wow. So everybody runs out of this auditorium, and the couple gets out as well. Everything is ruined because everything is wet now. They get outside, and they see the mother-in-law. She is sitting outside smoking a cigarette.
Oh, my gosh.
And immediately they think, she did this.
She pulled it. She pulled it.
The fire alarm.
She pulled it.
So they go up
to that is next level. So, if she did that.
So the son goes up to his mother and he's like, "Did you just pull the fire alarm to ruin our party?" She's like, no, I would never do that.
Smoking a cigarette.
Right.
But I did blow smoke into the thing. Yeah.
Right? So anyways, he goes on social media to ask people, "What do you think? Do you think my mom did this on purpose, or was this just accidental?" But she never admitted to it. She never said, "Yes, I did pull the fire alarm."
She did.
But it sounds like she is so calculated.
Yeah.
That she would do it.
Wow, because that destroys a lot of stuff too. Like that
$9,000 worth of stuff.
Yeah, that messes up the building because then the building has to reset everything, and then it destroys things in the building too. Oh my goodness, that's next level. If she did that, she might not have done it, but I guarantee you, she's not sad about it.
No, what I would do is I would pay whatever money I needed to get the security camera footage.
Oh, absolutely.
If I could find proof, I want to know.
Yeah, that's where you've got to. You'd have to draw some lines with your mom at that point.
If you're the
husband.
At that point, she's so toxic, you don't even want her in your kid's life.
It is interesting. Yeah, for sure. It is interesting, like, blending families and things like that. Like, I always had a really good relationship with my in-laws, and as does my wife with my family. And so I'm beyond thankful for that. Like, that made our lives so much easier. And then, like, as I look forward to my daughter possibly getting engaged and married with the guy that she's dating, Spencer, if that happens, then it's like, okay, we're blending these two families. And now, like, our families get along really good, which is great. I love that. I know. We're different in a lot of areas, but we get along really well. Mm-hmm. But I could see, like, you talk about the planning of something. I think that's always a real difficult thing to try to balance everybody's emotions in that, because sometimes, especially a wedding or a baby reveal, you're thinking, oh, well, this is the mom's thing, you know, the wife, the mother to be. And so you're like, whatever she wants. But then you have to remember the groom's family or the husband's family has goals they've had for their kid as well. And so, like, as I think about this, like, it's easy to go, oh, well, what does Haley want? What would Haley want? But then you have to also go, well, what would his family want? You know, and then how do you blend those two things into something that everybody is happy with? At the end of the day, I think the best thing to do for both families is to sit down with the kids, especially in the case of a wedding, and go, okay, you guys tell us what you want. You tell, because that's the overriding thing. Whatever you guys want to do is what we'll all agree to and do. So we're not each putting our own spin into it and pulling it in a different direction where they're scared.
She'll be like, I don't know, just whatever everybody
she's,
else
I know,
to
and
do.
She's tried some of that. And my wife was like, what? How do you not know? Like, I dreamed of this from the time I was like eight, you know? And yeah. So I think Haley's starting to get a little bit more verbal about things, but really? Still not a lot. No, yeah. Not a lot. Just a little bit. So it'll be interesting if this goes that way for her.
I'm not so interested about that part as I am the money situation, because that is, I just want you to be prepared. Listen, I try to be a kind person, okay? But I have to give you a hard time on that. I have to.
I know.
It's just built in.
Well, here's the thing.
But Daddy, I want the $3,000 shoes.
I don't think she'll be like that, honestly. Like, I know we'll pay more for a dress than I think is worth it, but not a ton more.
Okay.
Yeah. But
man's got a cap.
Yeah. The thing is with
tough guy.
With the, like, again, with talking about the other families.
Getting another mortgage.
It's, yeah. Well, like, I'm notoriously cheap, and I don't want to spend a lot of money on this.
Of course you don't, but then there is Vacation Dad. Is there,
Vacation Dad's pretty awesome.
Is there Wedding Dad?
There will not be Wedding Dad.
Is there Wedding Dad? We don't know. Does he exist? Does he not? Man, I think he does.
I will say, because I went to a wedding last year, and I know from somebody asking and me hearing, because I don't, you know, I'm not going to go ask someone how much their wedding costs. But hearing somebody ask and then hearing the number 55,000
pop
out.
No.
And I'll tell you this.
No.
It was a great day.
It doesn't matter.
It was all super gorgeous, super pretty.
No day is worth $55,000 in your life.
But Daddy, it's my one and only day.
Don't care.
My wedding day. Daddy, you don't understand.
This girl was the princess of this family.
Nope.
And so she was very important.
Like Haley.
And her dad was the kind of dad, just based on what I was told, the dad was the kind of guy who gave her everything, like gave her the world. They're gonna be very
I don't give
involved.
Her everything.
Like they live, like she still's like, oh, I still like wanna like we should live like next door to my parents. Like they have this fantastic relationship. Oh. But I will say this, that those two people that got married, they are the same amount of married as me and my wife.
Absolutely.
Are, and our number was a
try
good
and
chunk
tell
smaller.
That to, try and tell that to your daughter.
Here's the thing.
And here's no,
gonna...
let me tell you the thing. Don't you tell
me
the
tell
thing.
Me
I'm gonna tell you the thing. The thing is not only are you, I think Haley, you might be right. She might be like, oh, whatever you want to do, Daddy. But then she's gonna play the game because she knows how to play the game. She's had 20 something years of experience of playing the game. The thing is, your wife. Your wife has an expectation of what that day is going to look like. She also is the neck. While you might be the head, she is the neck. And she also knows how much y'all put into that savings account for her wedding.
Yep. And
do you
that's
know
what's
that
there.
Number?
I don't know that
he
number.
He doesn't want to know.
I don't know that number. It's more than I wanted it to be. but where she's been saving for that diligently, I have told her, I've told Marty, I've said, that's fine. You can use all of that. That's great. Whatever you want to do. But like, I don't want to add more to it, honestly.
You don't want to.
I don't want to, no.
But Wedding Dad might have to.
See, this is the thing.
What is the thing?
Well, talking about like the other family, I don't want to be, like, I have my own thing of like, I think that's crazy to spend a bunch of money on this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But like, then you, like I said, you have to take into consideration, like say Spencer's family. Like they've had expectations for what the wedding would be like for
and
their
this
son.
This would be their first one.
And I'm paying for it, you know, so I have to balance that out.
Ooh.
The good news is Spencer's dad, Mitch, is notoriously cheap, and I love it. Like, and Spencer's notoriously cheap, and I love it. So I'm hoping that they can understand, like, if I don't want to spend a grip of cash on this, that they're down
it,
with it.
And
no,
then you'll look bad.
No, that they're just down with it. Like, yeah, let's do something on the cheap.
But
you
Daddy,
know?
I need a 3-tier cake. Well, I can afford only a
one tier.
But then Spencer's dad is going to be like, you know what? You're my daughter, too. I'll pay for those other two tiers.
There's a good chance at this point I would be like, that's so nice of you. Like, years ago, I probably would have been like, no, I'll get it. I'd keep up with the Joneses. No. Now, hey, if you want to cover that,
I don't believe you one bit. I don't.
You talk about $55,000. I would much rather, like, let's say that my wife does not have that much in the wedding account.
You don't know.
I know it's way less than that.
You hope it's way less.
Darn sure better be. But like, I know it's less than that. Okay.
Okay, sure.
So, but that number, okay, that big number, I would much rather like do a $8,000 wedding and then go, here's the rest of that money. You have it for a house down
100%,
payment.
100%.
That is something that will pay off big for you.
Wait a minute. You are contradicting yourself.
Why?
Because you just said earlier you want to sit down with the couple and you want to say whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. And now you're saying this is what they need to do.
Yeah, because I have my own opinions and I would guide them to that. Yeah, I would.
Of course you would, because you don't want to spend the money.
Well, like Haley. Well, no, I want to give her money that matters. I don't want to spend a bunch of money on fish and chicken and steak that just feeds people and then who cares?
I love steak.
None of that matters. None of that matters.
According to you.
It doesn't.
According to you.
That was the fascinating thing is that Netflix had a show a while back and it took place here in Nashville. Yeah. And it was the show where they said, hey, we have, $30,000.
Marriage or mortgage.
And you get to, you get to choose the perfect wedding or you get to choose the money as a down payment on a home.
And that's where you went wrong.
Yeah,
because you watched
say yes to the dress and all that. Yeah, four weddings,
and you didn't watch whatever this show is that Gavin's talking about. That's what you should have made her watch.
And people still chose like a handful of them still chose the wedding over because some people care about that day.
Make no mistake, my daughter is in her best friend Lily's wedding coming up.
Yes,
and Lily's wedding is going to be beautiful. Like we were talking with Molly and Greg. Like her wedding is going to be to the nines, and it's going to be very nice. And I know it's very expensive, because Greg and I were talking about stuff. And so, like, trust me. Every turn during that wedding, I'll just be looking at Haley and going, you know you're not getting this, right?
You don't need to say that.
I do need to tell her that.
No,
you know we're not doing this, right?
Because you know that she doesn't want to hurt you, and so she's not going to really speak up.
Yeah.
And you were just saying you're going to sit down and you're going to tell her it's whatever you want, little baby.
Within reason.
My little boogie boo.
Within reason.
But then you're over there going, you ain't getting that.
I would much rather give her something of value, and that's a down payment for a house. Like, I think that is going to serve you far more than having a certain thing of roses on your centerpieces versus a cactus, you know.
Hypothetical. Yes. And we've got 4 minutes. Hypothetical situation. Haley says, yes, Daddy, you're so right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend that. I want a cheap wedding.
Yes.
But I want to give half of what I save from a cheap wedding.
Right.
To my brother Hayden,
right.
To help him not be homeless, living in a homeless shelter with his hermit crab, Hermie.
If Hayden is at the wedding, then I will say yes. But what she doesn't know is I had Hayden kidnapped. So
you had to pay someone to kidnap
him. Yeah. The lengths I will go to. All right. Do you have any birthdays?
And they're like, sir, do you want to put out like a
APB?
Missing
person's report.
Or put out a reward?
No. Like,
no, not really.
No.
He can figure it out.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
We don't have any birthdays.
Okay, all right. That's going to have to do it for our aftercast today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.